And at this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Barry, from the Southwest Florida area.
Hey, everybody, I'm an addict named Barry. How's everybody doing tonight? I know it's late. I'm tired. I was talking to Roger right before the meeting, and I said, you know, I've been up since like 7 this morning. I don't know if I'm really into this. And I'm getting older. She was talking about being 58. I'm going to be 65. And it's not easy. But I gave my word that I would do this. I committed to it. And the commitment is part of my recovery and my recovery. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever really looked up the definition of foundation. It's that on which something is built or stands. And I stand for NA. So when I give my word, that's all we have is our word. My word is me. And the commitment that I've learned is from Narcotics Anonymous. I came to NA broken. Totally broken. I came for the first time in 1983 and thought you guys were such losers. I remember walking into a church basement and shaking my head and said, Jesus Christ, if this is all I have to look forward to, I'd rather use. You know? I didn't know what you guys were about, and I was too closed-minded to try to find out. And what happened is I left. Came back in 1985 and stayed clean for 12 and a half years and built the foundation and did all the necessary things. I've often analyzed what happened, and it really doesn't matter. I used. Used in 1997, and I struggled. I never stopped coming back here, never. But it took till 1999 to get clean again. That's my new clean date. And the insanity is, you bite the hand that feeds you. Why? And that doesn't matter either. I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I stood for nothing. Nothing. I was about nothing. I was dishonest, immoral. And that's based on my inventories that led me to that conclusion. Of my own morality. I'm the only judge of my morality. And my life was jails, institutions, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. That's how I lived. And I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I was about nothing, I stood for nothing, and my life was built on nothing. So I had no grasp, no foundation on anything, any way to live other than dirty. I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and when I grabbed onto this, things started to change. I was told, get a home group, participate in a home group, get and use a sponsor, attend a meeting a day for 90 days. That was my foundation. And I continued to build on it. I was told to do step work. I was told to help somebody else. I was told to develop a relationship and something to believe in. Some place that I could go. Something that was personal to me. Something that meant something to me. Something that would guide me and love me in spite of anything that I would do. You know, we hear these things about a power greater than ourselves. Get a doorknob. Fuck the doorknob. I never met a doorknob yet that could keep me clean. For real. You know? But you hear that dumb shit in here. The NA God of my understanding is what this whole recovery thing is all about. The grace, the mercy, the love, the goodness that the NA God has to offer. And people ask me, addict to addict, guy to guy, just friend to friend, like, you know, what do you believe in? Who is your God? What is your God? Explain me. Like, I've had people call me up and say, you know, ask me about a third step, and in the conversation, it's like, could you tell me how you came to believe? And I'd say, you know what, I came to believe very simply. I showed up, I was ready, I was willing, my mind open, my heart open, my mind open, and all of a sudden I found myself believing in this process. And as I started to believe in this process, I started to see a bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, I saw love. And I saw unity. People who were united in purpose. And the purpose is our message. Our message is so friggin' powerful that it saves lives. It's powerful. That's what we do here. If we were to have a business plan, NA saves lives. That's what we do. That's what we're about. And that's the only thing we're about. And all the other little things, you know, that like kind of trickle down, you know, it happens. They get in the way. But the bottom line is, we know what we're here. Like, I'm an NA soldier. NA has way too many lovers, not enough soldiers. You know, all the lovers are in the dance. You know, the soldiers are in the meetings. The soldiers are in H&I commitments. The soldiers are at PI commitments. The soldiers sponsor a lot of people. The soldiers are on literature committees. The soldiers are at area. The soldiers are setting up the home groups. You know, like, the neat thing about NA is there's enough versatility that no matter what your niche is in life, like I went to area service, I hated it. It just didn't me. You know what I mean? But give me an H&I commitment, I feel right at home. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a convict. You know? Maybe it's because I can relate to other convicts. Maybe it's because I've done time. Done the institutions. Done the jails. And you know what? And I understand what it's like to be incarcerated. I know what it's like to be misunderstood. I know what it's like to be an addict. You know, people say, why do you like going? Because I do. I've always felt comfortable around other addicts, man. Like, when I used, who would I want to be around with? I wouldn't want to be around clean people. Come on. You know, in recovery, I love being around you guys. I'm totally at ease and totally comfortable with you guys. I can sit, you know, like I could sit on a tier all day, talk, you know, play pinochle and talk shit. I can sit around here all day, play pinochle and talk shit, you know? But I'm not talking shit, I'm talking recovery, you know? I love being an NA guy, you know? I love talking about spiritual principles. I love dissecting the steps, talking about the most important words in the steps. Like, we used to be in the NA debate club, and you know, we came to the conclusion that the two most important words in the steps were continue in the 10th step, because if this truly is a process, we all need to continue. And we must remain vigilant. You know, vigilance is the key. And we talk about, you know, why do they talk about in the steps, it says, when we make amends, why is it wherever possible and not whenever possible? You know, I mean, we get into all the insanity, and what's the difference between a defect and a shortcoming? And why don't they use the same word twice? And, you know, all that nonsense. But you know what? It keeps me involved in my own personal recovery. And I believe the only way we stay here and the only way we stay one step ahead of this disease is by being vigilant in our recovery. Because this disease doesn't rest. And the thing that I hate the most about this disease is that we could do this perfectly for a decade, and we're only one bad decision away from insanity. That, you know, like I said, I was clean for 12 and a half years and used. Why? I mean, if I, you know, and boy, I'm really getting off the subject. But, you know, I hear people in a meeting say, it's not about a drug for me today, and it makes my blood boil. You know, I'm farther away from a drug than I've ever been. But how far away from I really? I'm one bad decision, one arm length away, one stupid thought, one act of impulse. So I have much respect, mad respect, for the disease of addiction. It is cunning. It is powerful. It's insidious. And it wants no good for any of us. It wants us to suffer. It wants us to die. It wants to either take everything we've ever had or not allow us to have what we've never had and dream of. For real. And just for today, I'm not willing, man. Like I was told, get a foundation. Okay, how do I do that? Man, I went to probably 400 meetings in my first year. I was scared to death. When I came back this time, I was scared to death of using. Scared to death. I bet the second year I went to 400 meetings. I bet the third year I went to 400 meetings. I remember calling my grant sponsor and I had told him what I used because my sponsor had told me to call him. And he was clean 25 years at the time. This was 1997. And he said, "Barr, I've been doing this a quarter of a century. I've never seen anybody use with double digits come back and get double digits again." And that was...
That's it.
I'll show you. He kept me clean 5 years just on a resentment. I'll show you. And in that 5 years, everything changed. You know? Like, my ego got out of the way. My arms opened again. My heart opened again. The love came back. The steps started coming back into my life, you know, like they were simplified. Like I used to want to be in the 80s, late 80s when I was clean, I wanted to be a stepologist. You know, I wanted to share about steps in meetings, and I wanted people to go, "God damn, he's so profound." You know, and after I used, the steps were simplified to me, like through my sponsor. He says, "Hey, Barr, I want you to wake up in the morning, and when you're looking yourself in the mirror, I want you to ask yourself a question. Has anything changed since yesterday?" And what he meant is in terms of being an addict. Am I cured today? I don't think so. Am I still powerless over my addiction? My life still become unmanageable. So my first step today, while I'm shaving or brushing my teeth, every morning I do it, I look myself dead in the face in the mug and I go, "Hey Barr, what's different than yesterday? As far as addiction, nothing. I'm still an addict, still powerless, the unmanageability still is there." So then what? Upon the acceptance of my condition, I move on to a second step. I understand that restoration is possible. I understand that there is a solution. The first step is addressing the problem. The second step is looking for the solution. The solution is offered. The restoration to sanity. We came to believe. How do we come to believe? We got to show up. We come to believe. Step one, step two, step three. So step two, the restoration. How do I get restored to sanity? By coming to believe. Then what do I do when I come to believe? A third step, I commit. What do I commit to? I commit to walk under the umbrella of grace. I come to understand that there is a God, a divine power that's so merciful, so loving, so kind, so good, so caring, that everything we need will be provided. God will meet every one of us at the level of our needs. And it blows my mind when, you know, this was another like NA debate thing, like how much grace does God have? How much mercy? The word that describes it all the best is abundance. Limitless. No beginning, no end, infinity. There's enough for us, there's enough for the people 8 states away, and there's enough for the thousands that don't even know they have a problem. You know, there's enough of everything in Narcotics Anonymous that I don't have to steal Kevin's recovery. I don't have to steal Mark's sponsor. I don't have to steal Brian's steps. I can do my own. I can share somebody else's. You know, there is joy and happiness. You know, I share about this a lot. When I used, there's a guy, his name is Steve. He wrote up from Annapolis, Maryland. I was living in New Jersey. He wrote 2.5 hours to take me to a meeting. And I'm like, why are you doing this? That's what we do. That's what we do. And my buddy Rocky used to come and take me to meetings. And every time I used, he'd look at me and with the, like he used to have these eyebrows. One used to go up this way. And he'd give me this like mean look. His mug would be all broke down. And he'd be staring at me and he goes, hey, motherfucker. How long are you going to bite the hand that feeds you? And it drove me crazy, man, because he was right. There was a dude named Malik who used to call me. He was from Camden. He was a big dude. He was a bank robber. And every time I was high, he would, you know, this was when I had answering machines, no cell phones, and I used to lay there and I'd hear the answering machine ring, and I knew it was him because he called 11 o'clock every night. And he'd go, hey, motherfucker, answer the phone. And I wouldn't answer it. And he'd go, I know you're high, so you don't have to lie. And I still wouldn't answer it. And he would go, just pick up the phone, brother. Just pick up the phone. And I would pick up the phone after, you know, like when I knew it was going to disconnect. Just because I was lonely. Just because I was hurting. Just because I wanted to be clean. I wanted to be clean. You know, the one thing I learned from the relapse is, and it's probably the most profound thing you're going to hear today, it is impossible to be clean and use drugs. And I tried, believe me. And I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. I came, when I used in 1997, I came to meetings for weeks because I had been clean 12 and a half years and my whole life was built in this. I knew nobody outside of this. Every friend I had was about this. And I was afraid that if I told you the truth, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. And I'd be alone again. I went to H&I commitments high. The only reason I didn't admit to anything, I got caught. If I would have never got caught, I'd probably still be high, still be talking shit. You know, I got arrested twice in 2 weeks. And my sponsor told me, hey, Barr, you ought to get on your knees and thank the God of your understanding that he showed you very quickly that you don't use very well. And when I came back, I was embarrassed. I was, you know, shame, hopeless, helpless. All the self everything, the self-loathing, self-hatred was at an all-time high. It was worse than when I came in the door the first time. You know, because I felt like that failure again. And I dug in, man, with both feet and both arms and held on and for everything I was worth, because I knew that this was worth it. I knew that this was worth it. And I knew that if I was vigilant, and I knew if I hung in there, and I knew if I followed all the suggestions, that it would all work out and I'd come back stronger than ever. And part of my greatest joy, and I don't say it with any ego at all, is people say to me, "Hey Barry, you know what, I like you a lot better than I did in 1990. You know? And because I had an ego, like I had spoken at 2 world conventions, I had started a bunch of meetings, I had been flown a couple places to be speakers, and you know, had been put up in hotels, and you know, my ego was like this big, and I thought I was somebody, and you know, and in here we're all somebody. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say I'm a nobody. We're all somebody. You know, we're all about something. You know, we're all just, you know, like the thing I love about NA is it's a spiritual program, and what that tells me is if we have a spirit, we belong here. And when we come in here, it doesn't matter how fractured our spirits are. It doesn't matter how broken our spirits are. When we walk in the door, what we're saying is, "Help me. Help me." You know, no matter how grandiose we think we are, no matter if we come in a Mercedes-Benz, nothing personal. Or if we come in a skateboard, on a skateboard, or we come in on a Harley Davidson, nothing personal. Or in a wheelchair. Doesn't matter. You know? What we're saying is, we need help. You know? And it doesn't matter how long we've been here. Every time we walk in the door, the admittance for help. I'm sorry, man. I'm just, you know what? I didn't feel like doing this. Now that I'm doing it, I'm glad I did. You know what I mean? I really didn't want to do this. You know, I'm tired. I didn't think I had anything to offer. I hope I did. Is it time? Oh, cool. I want to thank everybody for tolerating me tonight. And I love everybody here, man. And you know, I love NA, and I love everything about NA, and I love the whole process. And I just moved to Florida 2 months ago. I retired, and who would have ever thought I'm going to be 65 years old? I'm on Social Security. Bless you. When they say beyond my wildest dreams, I never thought I'd live to see 30. You know, when I was 20, I went for my physical for Vietnam, and I was on methadone maintenance, had already been arrested for possession of heroin and burglary. And when I was 30, my life was a mess. And my father used to say to me, "Hey Barry, you're 20, when are you going to grow up?" And I'd laugh, and he'd say, "Hey Barry, you're 25, when are you going to grow up?" And I'd laugh. And at 35, he'd say, "Hey, Barry," well, he died. My mother would say, "Barry, when are you going to cut the shit out?" And I'd say, I'd laugh. I didn't want what he had. I didn't want what anybody had. I thought I had it going on. And today I realized, man, that I wanted everything he had. Just didn't know how to go about getting it. You know, today I know how to get it. You guys show me. You know? You guys have been a part of, number one, me stop using drugs. You have showed me that I don't have to use. You have showed me I have a choice. Who knew that we had a choice? Who knew? Who knew that the obsession to use drugs could ever be lifted? Who knew that we could ever find a new way to live? Who knew? Thanks for showing me. I really appreciate it.